We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Praise the Lord. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he's the only name given whereby that we can be called upon and be saved by, according to the scriptures. No matter who else, what else, or other names are being called, there's only one name that whereby that we can be saved, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord. Many people today have a difference of opinion about this and that, but my friend, I encourage you, as often before, to read your Bible for yourself and ask God to help you to understand what he has given the apostles and the prophets of old to write to us and give us the information that we need for the salvation of our soul. In the beginning was God that created the heavens and the earth. And in John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created that without Jesus Christ. So my friend, it's today is the name that is greatly to be praised, and to give him credit and bless his name forever and ever. Amen. We thank God today to know that there is wisdom in the Word of God, and there is truth, none else but the truth. And if you'll study his Word and read and find out what he has to say, to when he moved by his Spirit with the prophets of old and the apostles that he chose from among men, when he himself walked among men as a man, but yet was all God. The scripture teaches us that all power was given unto him in heaven and earth. So them that call upon another God, which there's not any, but another name, which there's not another name, he would not have any power to be of any service to you. So why do we seek after something that cannot give us salvation and cannot be of a help to us? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only salvation that we can call upon, the only name, rather, that we can call upon and get salvation. For he was the one that died on Calvary's cross better than 2,000 years ago. He shed his blood and gave his life for you and I, that whereby that we can have life and have it more abundantly. An abundant life, my friend, don't mean that a Cadillac in your garage and a full car garage and all these things and the findry of the world, big cathedrals and so on and so forth. But an abundant life to me is knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Lord of glory, and salvation in his wonderful name, with that hope that is within me, the hope of Christ in me, the glory of God. That gives me that abundant life that I'm one day will inherit by being ushered into the kingdom of God through that, maybe by death or maybe by being changed. This old body that we dwelled in the flesh and bones is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But we'll all be changed. Whether you're asleep in the dust of the earth, you'll be brought forth from corruption. That which is remained to be alive will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, according to the scriptures, and we shall all meet the Lord in the air. I believe that time is coming real soon, my friend. If we just look back and we see the things that have been fulfilled in reading the scriptures, as it was going into the time there in Ezekiel's time, he went out into the valley by the Spirit of God, and there he seen the bones laying bleached into the sun and all. It wasn't that so much that he prayed as it was that he told him to prophesy, and the bones came together. The shed come up on them, the flesh come up on them, the wind blowed and it breathed up. And when they stood up, there was a whole house of Israel, my friend. Israel was spiritually dead. But God had promised them there that he was going to bring them back into the land that he had gave to their forefathers, which was Abraham, which he gave to him, and he's going to bring them forth. In 1948, Israel became a state, the United States is the first to recognize them being that state that they're in today, being classified as being a nation. My friend, today these other nations around and about them is against them from the very beginning, because Ishmael was the son of the bondswoman, and God did not choose him to be the heir to Abraham or to the heir of whatever. That's not to say that he cannot be saved, because he's got to come the same way anyone did. The Jews has got to come and recognize the fact that Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he is the God that he presented himself to be, and they denied him. So it's not so much that they can't be saved, but it's because of their hardness of their heart, like so many people today, whether you're Jew or Gentile, a hardening of the heart, and the corruption that is therein is keeping them from the truth of God's word, because they won't receive his word as truth. My friend, the only way you're going to have salvation is receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, through the finished works of Calvary, through the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life, and the things at which end that he's done, because you could not, neither could I, save ourselves. No works is going to get you there. You can't pay enough of money to get you out of hell if you happen to get into there. And it's not enough of silver or gold to buy your way into the kingdom of God. It's a free gift from God. Jesus came into this world and died for a sinner such as you and I, and all that would call upon him. He would find that he can have grace in God's sight and believe through faith in the atoning price that he paid in the blood of Jesus, and he can have salvation. But no other name, no other way can he make it. Silver to gold won't buy your way in, and it will not pay your soul out of hell. So this here teaching that some of these people are going around, you give the priest so much money or pay so much to get them out of purgatory, is no such a way, and no such a time, no such a thing is that going to be. Abraham made it very clear that it was a great gulf. Them that was there couldn't come up there, and them that was there couldn't go down there. So, my friend, be wise enough to understand and read the Bible for yourself. And know, Israel was put out in the back burner, so you might say, where we could be grafted in. We're the Gentiles, was lost without any hope, under a curse of death, in darkness, until Jesus came and tore the partition down that was between us, that was in his body. He hung on the cross, and he brought it to where he could bring us together, one in all, him being the head of the church. And my friend, we can look into the Bible there when Ezekiel prophesied to the bones, Israel came together. They became a nation, and in 1948, God had brought them back from all around the world, as he said he would. I'm not trying to predict the time of the Lord's return, but the time is getting close. And you read your Bible and you see all the signs and the things that are happening around the world today, and you also should be wise enough to understand that the time of the end is upon us. That he spoke of to Daniel and the other prophets, that he spoke of the time of the end. These things are of the time of the end either, Ezekiel was seeing, that he's going to come together and all nations are going to come against Israel. A lot of people says that if God is such a loving God, why is he allowing these things to happen? You know why he's allowing this here things to happen, as you claim? Because of sin, because of the lust of the flesh, because of your ungodliness, because of these things is what's going to bring the wrath of God upon the unbelievers. And that's where it's going to be. Them that have been born again and worshiping God in spirit and in truth and believing in faith in him and walking by faith, they don't have to worry about the wrath of God. But those people that have got together and thinking that they're going to come up and destroy Israel, and when Ezekiel said they would, that the Lord said that he would bring them against Israel. It would come against them as a cloud to overshadow the land. Gog and Magog and all of them. If you'll check out on the scriptures there, and you'll find that the days that we live in now, that all these countries, the names have been changed from what they were back in those days. So check it out. Find out for sure before you go make a statement about something other that that ain't what it says. Because Gog and Magog and Tumul and all of those is different names now from what they were back then. So check it out. We'll find that Ezekiel's prophecy has been fulfilled and will be fulfilled to the fullest extent of God's laws and his prophecy. Now, there come a time when people will turn against God. They'll turn against you if you believe in God. And there's many of them already doing this. So don't worry about that. If you have your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, you're in the safest hands that you can possibly be in, even though they may take your life. But it'll only be a shortcut to glory if they end your life here. The Lord, the Bible teaches that don't fear man who can kill the body, but fear God who can kill soul and body in hell. So my friend, don't worry about giving your life. He gave his life for you, so why not be willing to give your life for him if it comes to that? We all born into this world. We born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We needed a Savior. God provided salvation for us through the Son of God, through Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the only true living God that came into this world to die for man. For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He chose the 12 apostles. He didn't go into the big high-class seminars in them places to choose his apostles. He went out into the along the seashores and got fishermen. He even got a tax collector. He even chose one of them was Judas, and he knew. He said, "Have I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He knew Judas was going to betray him. My friends, don't be naive enough to think that God didn't know what was going on, that he didn't know that Judas was going to betray him. He knew exactly what he was going to do. So are you going to be a Judas and betray him and not live for him? I'm afraid you'll be losing out as Judas did. He called him the son of perdition, which would go to his own place. The Bible speaks about it. So be not deceived by every wind of doctrine, by this that come forth from the Old Testament teachings, and said that it's not like that. We're living in the New Testament, which we are. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ was born under the law of a woman, made under the law. He come and fulfilled the law. And the church did not begin until Acts was come into force. And I want you to understand this. I'm not trying to tell you a lie. I'm not telling you a lie. The Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus Christ came into this world. He was made under the law, born of a woman made under the law, but he was the only one that fulfilled all the law that was given to the children of Israel to be an example to the Gentile world, and they failed. That's why they were broken off and put on the back burner, you might say, and how the Gentiles began to be grafted in, a wild branch. And I want you to know that we were wild. Even to Ishmael was a bondwoman's child, but even there, Abraham sired him. But God told him that he would have a son of his own loins from Sarah, and he would be called the son of promise. When God told Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, out and offer him up as an offering to him, he didn't include Ishmael, but he did tell Abraham that he would not be his heir, and he's not going to be his heir. Of course, he can be saved, but he's going to have to come the same way you and I got to come through Jesus Christ. But evidently, he don't see it that way because he's got Allah, a false prophet, and they're killing themselves and the other people because of this false teaching. My friend, it's time people begin to wake up and realize there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're baptized into one body, the body of Christ. There's many members, but there's only one head. And Christ Jesus is the head of all things. To the church, all power was given unto him in heaven and earth. So if there be any other gods, they ain't got no power. So why look to another God that has no power to heal, has no power to save, has no power to do anything for you? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where all of the fullness of the Godhead dwells, in Christ Jesus. We're living in a time of the end, my friend. There's no way around it. All the earthquakes, the wars, and the things that are happening is just the fulfillment of God's word. If you look around about the world and see the disasters that are happening, oh, I know many of you say, well, if God is so good, why is he letting all this bad things happen to good people? Well, all those people that have failed to call upon him, believe and trust in him, is going to reap the whirlwind, my friend. Destruction is going to fall upon the ungodly and them unbelievers. But them that know God, accept him, and the atoning price that he paid for their salvation, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have to worry about these things. Or even, there may come a time that you may suffer death for his name's sake, but that's all right. Many did, many have. Many was killed by the unorthodox body of unbelievers to make it Christmas, the time of Jesus' birthday. Well, you know in your own mind that he wasn't born on the 25th day of December. It's too cold over there. The shepherds was in homes and the sheep were in the fold. And the angels didn't come to him there. The men of the Magi didn't find him at his birth. They found him when he was approximately 2 years old in a house. If you just read your Bible, my friend, you don't have to take my word for it. Read the scriptures. They will tell you about the truth of how it is and what it is, and you will accept it or either you'll be lost. Plain and simple. If we don't accept the truth of God's word, we'll believe a lie, as according to the scriptures, believe in a lie and be damned. Having your conscience seared with a hot iron, not believing, it will not get you anything, but it will get you a place in hell, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for the man to begin with. But because man is so determined to go there, because that he wants to be that way, and he lives like the devil himself on earth, then he can die and be in the domains of hell with him, because hell has enlarged itself in order to accommodate them that wants to go. My friend, you don't have to. It's up to you. But we will realize that time is getting short. As Ezekiel told them there, that when the valley of the dry bones, they all stood up, and he said, God told him it was the whole house of Israel. As I said a moment ago, that Israel became a state in 1948. That was the fulfillment of God bringing his people out of all nations. Or they may be a few of them scattered around here and there yet, but they will all come together at the proper time. Most of them is already there, but I want you to know that these people going around and saying, want to send them a bundle of money to get the Jew from this place and that place, most of them are sticking in their pocket, and the Jewish at wherever they're at, they'll get there. If God puts it in their minds to go, they will go. My friend, don't be deceived by all this other stuff and want to pay money out, thousands of dollars, to give to some organization to see that they get there. They'll get there, and God will provide for them. You can rest assured on that. But I want you to think about all these here things that are going on in the world today is just the beginning of sorrow. The wrath of God is going to be the destruction of the sinner and the ungodly. Tribulations is upon the church today. It begins at the house of God. We're having tribulations. People being deceived and going about deceiving. even to the church, has gotten so much of the world is allowed to come into it, until instead of them going into the world and preaching the gospel and telling the world about Jesus Christ, they're allowing the world to come in and do their thing in the buildings or in the church world, and they are all dancing to their music. They're all clapping their hands to their gestures and everything, but it ain't going to work. I'm here to tell you it ain't going to work. God's going to have a church that's been blood-bought. He's going to have a church that he said has separated itself from the world. But the scripture says to come you out from among them and be you there separated, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. My friend, you can't hold hands with the devil and thanks to his tune and expect to get into the kingdom of God. It don't work that way. So let me encourage you, read your Bible. Find out for firsthand. As the old saying used to go, if you want to know the truth about who's going to win the race, they used to talk about the horses. Go to the horse and he'll tell you. Go to the horse's mouth. But if you take the word of God as it is, asking the Lord to help you with understanding, believe in what it says, you'll find that it's not that difficult. Oh, there's some of these here hi-hat people and preachers and going around and some of these things and telling you, oh, you don't need to read it. We'll read it, interpretate it for you. It's above your knowledge. It was wrote with about a fourth grade education. And surely that you got enough of sense for that. You don't have to believe every wind of doctrine that comes around and tells you there's three, four, or other gods. There's other things that you can make believe and go to heaven. They're telling you little trifling things, my friend, but the truth is in the Word of God. As the old saying goes, the truth is in the pudding. The truth is in the Word of God. It won't lead you astray if you'll bring that and realize that there'd be one sheepfold, because he broke down the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles when he hung on the cross. The veil of the temple was rent, exposing the most holiest of holiest unto whosoever will, that they can come and drink of the waters of life freely. My friend, it's no mystery. Yet it is a mystery. In the beginning, it was a mystery. Because in Timothy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, preached into this world, and these things, my friend. You need to realize that it's always been as it is written in the scripture. God revealed himself to man many times. He revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. He come to Abraham in the form of the high priest of Salem there. But I want you to think about it, my friend. It was him that Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils to. It was God himself. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe what the scripture has given to it. The report that has been given by the prophets of old and by the patriarchs and the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe the report. The arm of the Lord has been revealed, and I believe that that's what it's going to take for you and I to make it into the place that he said he would go and prepare for us. And therefore, when he comes, he'll receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. But it's up to you and I. There's many times that we've seen people healed by the presence of God. But my friend, there's a lot of people out there today trying to make a show out of it on your TV, and some of them praying and coming up with all kinds of stuff and then declaring it to be so, and there's no evidence of it. Some people call over and over again in some of these broadcasted on the TV and everything. You see the one on the TV, but you don't see who's calling in. And many times declared that the miracles are being formed, but there's no evidence of it. So why believe that you cannot confirm? Jesus never went about, or none of the apostles ever done anything in secret or in behind closed doors. There was always a witness there to bear witness of the glory of God and by his doing and bringing forth life out of death, healing of the blind and the leprous. It was always a witness there. So, my friend, don't be naive and believe everything that comes out over the TV or even over the radio or even over the airwaves when they cannot confirm it by the word of God. Ezekiel is a part of the gospel of the world of God, the word of God, that to bring forth. Israel had become a nation, and that has been fulfilled, and we got to realize that the time is running short. We see, we hear all these earthquakes are happening. The Bible said there would be. The wars and rumors of wars, there's never been but just a few days or a few weeks of peace in everywhere. But there's been nations against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and it's going on right today. Here it is. North Korea's up in there, and they wanting to get started some mess. China's wanting to jump on somebody about something else, and this way and that way. The Democrats and the Republicans fighting one another. Kingdoms against kingdoms. Odds against odds. My friend, God's kingdom is not divided. It's going to be one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Ain't going to be no Republicans, and ain't going to be no Democrats. Ain't going to be this, and ain't going to be that. It's going to be one in Christ. All joined, fitted together in the kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ being the head of the whole matter. So realize that even though that whomever is in the White House here in the United States or whomever sits in the big chair of these other nations, he's there because God let him be there. You take him down any time. And this one is in the White House here in the United States. He's walking on thin ice. He's doing things that is unconstitutional, and he's bringing forth things that, but it's in the will of God. He's bringing the footsteps of the end time right on to us. It's all about in the plan of salvation, my friend. He's going to do until God gets tired of him doing, and he'll move him off the scene one way or the other. I don't know how he'll move him, but he may move him back to Kenya where he was supposed to be to start with. But these bunch of people wanted to make him president, so they're reaping the whirlwind now, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And the only betterment is going to be when Jesus comes to put down all the foes, when he puts down all the sin and locks the devil and all of his gang in hell and fasten him up forever. That's going to be when the time of the refreshing, the time of the glory of God is going to be felt over all of his people. As Daniel spoke about that the stone hewed out without hands smote the image at the foot where the iron and the clay was mixed together and broke it all to pieces, and it fell and it went to birth and the wind blew it away as a shaft on the floors. My friend, it's going to come an end to all this here foolishness that's going on. And being the president or a king of a nation and everything, ain't going to make it sure that you're going to get into the kingdom of God. Only way that you can be is be born again, as he told Nicodemus was a leader in the synagogue. And he didn't even understand. So no wonder the Lord went to them, my little old boys out there, fishermen, even to a tax collector, because he was even able to teach them. Nicodemus and that bunch of Pharisees there thought they were redeemed themselves unteachable. They thought they knew the whole thing. Till Jesus says, oh, you must be born again. How can, when a man's old, can he enter again in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He said, if you can't understand the natural things, Nicodemus, you'll never be able to understand the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You've got to be born again, or you will nowise see that. You can't see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was standing there before him, and he couldn't see him. He said, except you believe, you will in no wise enter in. Nicodemus went off, but he come back. He believed. I believe that he accepted what Jesus told him. I believe that. But my friend, if you don't accept being born again of the water and of the Spirit, and be accepted according to Acts 2:38, as Peter began to tell them there when the church was formed in the New Testament church. If you can't believe and receive the word of God, it's infallible, it's unchangeable. And if you don't believe what it says, and you're going to believe what these other people come along and believe in, there's three gods in the Godhead, and you're saying that Peter lied, he didn't know what he was talking about, he changed what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. Jesus said specifically there was a name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hey, Father's not a name, Son's not a name, and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God. So now, where's the name? Jesus, as Peter said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't believe all this stuff you hear on the TV. Read your Bible. Oh, they blabber out something or other and call it the speaking in the Holy Ghost and everything, but it may not be, my friend. It may not be that the move of God into their lives. It may be the move of the enemy, that's false teachings, because they've been in the world for a long time. They know all the tricks in the trade. That devil is a smart old boy, but he ain't smart enough to evade God's word. If you believe what the word of God says, you can believe on God, and God will help you with the understanding. But if you want to believe every wind and doctrine, that's your privilege. You're free to do so. But I would encourage you, read your Bible. Believe what it's written there, and the prophets of old, and the apostles, the patriarchs, Abraham, and all of them that come along before the law, and then the prophets and the law, then the apostles of the new. My friend, we're living in the last days. There's no way, no shape or form that you can deny that. I don't know the day or the hour when our Lord and Savior will come, no more so than these people that their houses had been broken into and the automobiles in lately. They knew that the hour that they was going to come in and break into them, they would have watched. And that's what it is with the world today. They're out gallivanting about, doing the world's things, chasing all over the world for pleasures of flesh, pleasures of life and everything, and leaving out the love of God. And they'll be caught up in their sins when the Lord comes in the hour they expect not. They'll drive all the way from, they don't tell them where, to another state somewhere or another to watch a football game, but they won't go around the corner to hear the word of God. I want you to know, my friend, it's going to come a time that it's going to be rationing to them, because the Bible speaks about there was going to come a famine, not for food and drink, but for the word of God. There's so much false teaching going on today. Except you read your Bible knowingly what it's going on, you'll be led astray. That's why I encourage you, read your Bible. Get you one, read it, sit down and spend some time in it. We ain't none of us to spend too much time in it. But God will enlighten you by the reading of your word if you earnestly desire to serve him in the beauty of holiness. These days that we're living in now is perilous times, my friend, when the school kids can be walking down the street and some nut going come down the road and start shooting them. And you don't think that that's tribulations and perilous times? There's something wrong with your thinking if you don't think that. True, that these things happens to good people, but that don't mean God is so mean that he allows it to do it. The God of this world has put it in the minds of these perverted people that don't believe in God. They don't believe in your rights. All he feels is he wants his rights. He'll come down and shoot you down any time. Break into your house and steal all that you have worked and hard for to accumulate. He don't care about you. He's only thinking about himself. And that's the way the devil is. He was thinking about he would reach up, come to be the head over the kingdom of God when he said he would ascend above the Most High. He got cast into hell. And he's been trying to get back his place ever since, but he ain't getting for it. But if you want to believe what he has to say, that's your privilege. God allow you. It lets you believe a lie and be damned if that's what you want to do. But you don't have to. All you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and believing what the Word of God said. Accept it and walk by faith. Oh, it's so simple when you begin to understand it and realize it. It's so simple. It's so good to know that when you lie down, if you don't wake up the next day, that you can rest assured that you can be in the presence of the Spirit of God into that place that He said He would prepare. A lot of people don't believe that, but I want you to know that flesh and blood ain't going to get into the kingdom of God. But the Spirit goeth back to him that giveth. So we got to realize, my friend, that we need to be reborn again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting the atoning price that God himself in Christ Jesus paid yours and my sin debt, and accept him. As the Jewish people is going to have to do, God said he was going to bring Gog and Magog and all them other countries against them, but the fierceness of his anger is going to rise up in him, and he's going to rain fire down upon him and destroy him, because they're sinners and ungodliness. They're unbelievers. Them that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have a redemption. They'll have a place in the kingdom of God. But Gog and Magog and Tubal and all those places, now realize that in the olden days that these countries may have been called something else. I understand somebody said that Gomer in the Old Testament, in the old world, was called Gomer back then, but it's Germany today. And maybe that be, even the thing, Turkey was something different. Check it out. See, I've checked it out, and there's a lot of them is that we call today is not in the direction there, but they're called something else, and a lot of people is thinking, hey, this can't be true, but look for the old names, my friend, and go by what the Bible has to say. There's going to come a time when God's going to pour his wrath out upon the sinner and the ungodly, but praise be to God that them that have their names on the Lamb's Book of Life will be rejoicing in the presence of God when all of them are suffering damnation in the wrath of God. Bible says that the rich man will run and throw his money and all into the bats, in the holes with the bats, and crying out on for the mountains and the rocks to fall on him and hide him from him that sits on the throne. Because your silver and the gold can't buy you into the kingdom of God, my friend. It just simply won't work. And if you happen to go to Pregadore, as some of these here denominations teaches, and they're going to pay $50,000 to get you out of Pregadore, you're going to be there, and he's going to waste his money because you can't do it. So be wise enough to read what the Word of God says. Believe it, and don't be carried away by this false teachings and everything. Read what the Bible says. Believe in it. Trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. Oh, I'm running on and on here, and my wife hasn't said anything yet, but she's got something there that's going to go along with this. There's going to come a time when all these nations is going to come against Israel. They're already working. They're already, that bunch of Philistines it was then, the Palestinians now, want to annihilate them. It ain't going to happen, my friend. God's going to destroy those nations that come against them in order to destroy them. Read your Bible. Read the in Ezekiel 38, 37 and 38. Read it all. Then read Revelation. Read in Daniel. We'll find out that who's going to be what and what's going to be what. We'll know that God is sovereign and his will is going to be performed. It's set in order and it's in stone, so you might say. You and I can't change it. The only thing we can do is repent of our sins, receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of his sacrifice that he made on Calvary, accept him as our Lord and Savior. That's yours and my only hope, because you ain't going to change what has already been wrote in stone, so you say, in the Word of God. It's going to be according to his will, and there's nothing you and I can do. We're just going to have to work with him and allow him to work in us. You can't pay your way into the kingdom of God. It's all free. He died for you to set you free from all of the sins of the world and bring you forth into the kingdom of God and make you one new person and bring you into the kingdom of God through faith, being born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way you're going to make it. Silver and a gold won't make it. Peter and John went up to the gate called there, to the temple there, the gate there, and the beggar was laying there all lame from his mother's womb. He was stuck out his hand for maybe a piece of money or something to help him sustain him for another day. And Peter and John said, "Look on us." And he paid attention to him. And Peter said, "Silver and a gold have I none, but that I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and he jumped up, leaping and praising God, went in. And people wanted to know, who done this? He told them what happened and everything. And he was above 40 years old. He could answer for himself. But they wouldn't believe him. That's just what the world is today. I've seen God do some wonderful things. I believe it. But a lot of this stuff that goes on, my friend, be careful, knowingly, and if you'll be led by the Spirit, you won't go to the wrong place and get involved in something that is not of God. Be careful and look into the Scriptures. Find out what is and what ain't. Believe what the Scripture had to say, and you won't go wrong. But I just praise God and to thank him for his grace is sufficient, and he will bring forth that which he has told us, and it's going to come to pass, and there's not enough of devils in hell to keep it from happening. He may cause you to do some crazy things if you let him, but you don't have to let him. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior, you can win over him and win a place in the kingdom of God. See, our time is running short, and I want my wife to come together here and on this, because it's something that will go along with what we're trying to tell you. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the sinner and the ungodly. Only them that know him is going to be the one that's going to inherit the kingdom of God, born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting what he has told them, and therefore being born again and accepting him as their Lord and Savior. That's the only way you're going to escape the destruction of this world on the sinner and the ungodly. And that includes all those homosexuals and all them that have part with them, have favor with them, all these here people that says it's okay. My friend, they're going to reap the whirlwind of their decision, and they're going to fall short. So may God bless you. And here's my wife here now. She's got something of another for you here. And just keep praying for us. Write to us when you have the opportunity. We appreciate those that have wrote to us, the emails, and those that have helped us. We appreciate it, and we ask in God to richly bless you. Keep in prayer for our boys and girls who are in the service, and our people that are in the front line of defense, wheresoever and whatsoever they are, policemen, patrolmen, and so on and so forth. Just pray for them that God will help them with understanding, that they'll be able to do what they need to do for the benefit of all of us. And may God richly bless you. Here's my wife now.
I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity that I can share with you what God has laid on my heart. We are living in the last days. There's so many things going wrong in this world that you just read the newspaper and take it and read your Bible along with it, and you'll see the things that are happening. And our goal today is to reach out to a lost and dying world, to reach souls and help to increase your faith, that you can turn to the Lord in these last days and when things come upon you and everything. But I did praise God this afternoon that I am not ashamed of this gospel. I will stand on it no matter what, from early in the morning until late at night, 24/7, you might say. I am a child of the King. I know I've been adopted by Jesus Christ, and I'll stand for him until the day I take my last breath. But this afternoon, I want to share with you the wrath of God. Now, I read these from different magazines, papers, and things like that, and if you would like a copy of it to share with someone else, you can email me, you can write to me, you can do whatever you wish to do, and I'll be glad to send it to you because I have extra copies. I can get extra copies. But this is the wrath of God. In this age, when multitudes are given to greed and pride and sex and self-will, the church is basically quiet about God's wrath. Instead, many church leaders ramble on and on about God's kindness, saying nothing about his judgment. How often in the past year or two have you heard a sermon about the wrath of God? Just think about it. Preachers are not preaching it. They're afraid to. They're afraid to lose their congregation. If they're afraid of that, then they're not preaching the word and they're not pleasing to God. We live in the last days. Now is the time to warn people of what's coming on. And they're not doing it. Just as the Bible points out that God is good to those who trust him, the scriptures also declare that God is terrible to those who reject him. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10 says, in essence, that the Lord Jesus will return someday in blazing fire and will punish, or he'll take vengeance on those who know not God and who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and will be shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Why should we, when the Bible is so clear, feel awkward and silent when the subject of judgment comes up and we evade the issue when we're asked about it? God's wrath is not rage, bad temper, or cruelty. God is not a cruel monster. God's wrath is something which people choose for themselves. The person who rejects Christ prefers to be by himself without God, defying God's offer of salvation, and at the time of judgment, God will respect that human choice. Nobody stands under God's wrath unless he has chosen to do so. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:9, that since we have now been justified by Christ's blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Amen. We're not preaching about sin. People just, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. It's in the Old Testament. It's in Proverbs. And if you want to know how to live in this day and age, read the book of Proverbs. Everything that's in Proverbs is also in the New Testament. And take and get you a reference Bible that refers to the Old Testament with the New Testament. Many of the scriptures are in the New Testament, is in the Old Testament, if you just take time to parallel and read them. We live in the last days. It is not time to start. We are now at the end, where we need to look up, where Christ is coming soon. A lot of them don't believe it. They think that we're going to live for 2,000 years. But I've seen a lot of things happen, and things that are happening now hasn't happened in a long time. But I just praise God this afternoon that I am not ashamed of this gospel. It is food for me. And I just thank God for loving me, for saving my soul, and for taking me as one of his children. Now, we're self-supporting. If you would like to help us, to send us a love gift to help us, that would be very much appreciated. You can send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. If you would like to send prayer requests, which we've gotten prayer requests from time to time, you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. Or if you have something you'd like to share with us that we can send to other people, or you have a letter that you would of encouragement, it would be greatly appreciated. We love the Lord this afternoon, and I just thank Him again for this opportunity that I have to take time for Jesus here, Brother Earl.
Yes, amen. All of the things that are happening around about us, my friend, you just check out with the Word of God. You'll see that the days that we're living in is perilous times, as we have said before. I will not recant on that. It's there before us, plain as the nose on your face, so to say. And we need to realize that today is the day of salvation. We need to get our hearts right and be prepared for the day and the hour to when our Lord and Savior will come. I don't know the day or the time, and many people have tried to predict it, but there's no man on earth, not even to the angels in heaven, that knows the day or the hour. But God Himself is going to come forth, and He's going to bring it all to pass. My friend, be prepared. Don't let the devil tell you that you've got eons of time, because you or I, either one, has the promise of tomorrow. So even though if I could, as I've said, take the Word of God and prove to you that from this very time that it was going to be 10 years precisely, from this day to that day, 10 years would be before the Lord would come, I'd have to find a place in there where you've got the promise of then, because you and I have not got the promise of tomorrow. Our life may end at any time. There's a lot of people have left their homes to go to work and never returned again. There's a lot of our boys and girls have went overseas and have come back in coffins. My friend, you have not got the promise of tomorrow. It's all in the hands of God. Your life, He holds in the palm of His hands. And He gave life, and He can take life as He so desires. But He will give you life eternally if you'll accept Him and the price He paid for your soul and your salvation, if you'll accept Him as being your Lord and Savior. You don't have to die. You can live for eternally, but you got to accept the promise that God gave us through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. You got to do it before death comes and seizes over you. You can lay down and not wake up. You can go to your work and not return home. You can be going down on your vacation or maybe making a trip from one state to another to watch your ball game, and you may not return home except in a hearse or in a pine box, so to say. My friend, you have got no promise for tomorrow, no more so than I have. But I believe that in my heart, I truly believe that if you be born again, accepting the atonement price that Jesus paid for your salvation, you'd accept Him as your Lord and Savior, calling upon the name of the Lord and repenting for your sins, turning away from the sins of this world and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, accepting Him as your Savior, you can live forever. But that's the only way you can do it. You can't live forever in this old present sinful world as a sinner. But we can have life and have it eternally. And you can spend it with the kingdom of God in peace and love and joy, or you'll spend eternity in the presence of the devil in darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth without any hope. My friend, it's up to you. And let me encourage you one more time. Read your Bible. Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul before it's eternally too late. We got to do it now. Tomorrow may not be time. So as our time is running out on this, or is our time running out for salvation? So may God bless you. Write to us if you will. We like to be encouraged just by reading the emails we get from you and encouraging us to keep on keeping on. Prayer requests and all that would be welcome, and we do pray for you. And we just pray that God will richly bless you and keep you and help you to understand His will is for you not to perish, but to have eternal life. May God richly bless you. Till next time, take time for Jesus.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.